That's right. The drive is live. You heard Clint right there, and you see Tyler as well showing his nipples. This is around the time where you like if you got on top of shaving.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like you're 2 weeks too long, and that's why
or too early.
But that's what I'm saying.
It grows so fast.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You have to get on top of it. Now you get there, and now you got to start using Nair, and now you got to start taking.
Oh, I'll never touch Nair again.
But you look like
mm-mm.
like the way black folks get their hair cut. You look like an every 2 weeks.
I mean, that's probably accurate. It needs to be every 2 weeks, but like, dude, it's a lot of work.
I'll be honest with you. You're doing black folks a disservice. I've been around a lot of black folks that get haircut every 2 weeks. That's rough. Right? It looks like some mange right there.
That's not even that long since the last manscape.
I'm thinking it's 2 weeks. I feel like me and you, we should get on the same hair cutting schedule.
That's a lot of time.
I'm going tomorrow. You shave tomorrow, and then in 2 weeks, you just keep doing it. Because now, like when you let it go that long, and the people on YouTube and Twitch, you see it. When you let it go that long, don't rub around them little nipples. When you let it go that long, it takes so much longer to have to take care of it and have to cut it. If you got on a 2 week schedule,
I'm so covered though. It's gonna take long no matter what.
No, not every 2 weeks.
It's 15 minutes minimum.
Much. It ain't gonna have that much there.
I still gotta cover the same surface area no matter how long the hair's
from
got.
From a fellow hairy
so
guy,
thick,
from
man.
A fellow Caucasian, pasty skin.
You ain't that hairy. You can't let it get.
I gotta be the hairy.
You can't. There's no way.
Well, I've never seen him fully. I've never seen him fully. Mine's pretty rough.
If you just let it ride for about a month, you can go Tom Selleck. You can go Magnum PI.
Mine's not that dark. Mine's red and gray, so it's not that dark. But yeah, thickness. Yeah, it's ridiculously thick.
And we could see it coming out of his shirt.
Absolutely.
I'm connected eyeballs to feet, man.
Like I trimmed the whole thing, but it's like, here's the deal. You got to either keep that. If you're going to pull your shirt up, who gives a damn? But if you're going to pull your shirt up and show your nipples to our folks.
That's how you know the drive started.
You either got to get that thing shaved up or you got to keep your shirt on and let it grow out until it's just good and thick and hairy. And you just own the hairiness. One of the two. You can't pull up that mangy looking stuff.
It is about to get cold outside. I need to grow my winter coat.
I think you should. The problem with Tyler is he got kind of hair where it don't just hang out his neck. It'll come out of his sleeves.
It'll curl everywhere around
his sleeves.
Oh.
I don't have that.
No, everything is literally connected. From the only space I do not have hair is the small area of my forehead between my eyebrows and my hairline. Other than that,
I think if you hit it every two weeks, it'd be easier.
Well, I would let the hair tackle. Go. My problem is my hair, like on my body, grows all different directions. I got cowlicks
all over
my shoulders and my chest and my back, so it just looks like hell. I can appreciate a good, solid, thick fur coat now.
Maybe once a week. Maybe you should do it. But right now, you're going every 6 weeks, and that's a killer.
Not
even. Or you go until, hey, I am going to...
The beach.
I'm going out of town. I'm going to Germany. I'm going to...
I need to be more aerodynamic.
I have a shirt off, so now I'm going to shave.
Yeah, as many vacations as you take, you do need to keep that thing trimmed
and
up.
And then you had that one situation where did you injure yourself with that Nair or something? You
burnt? Oh, dude. Yeah, I almost completely removed my nipples from my body. I was not aware that Nair could damage the nips.
I want to move off this. Shout out to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot. Sports Radio 610 and football super fans, but yes, he does got a Teen Wolf type look going. But man, you like that is past razor. Like that's past what a razor. Like you gotta do something. Like you gotta do something to cut it down first.
You might
have to get some shears or something.
I use clippers only. Nair never again. You almost took my nips.
Yeah, don't do that. All right, coming up on the drive at 2:30, we expect to hear from D'Amico Ryans, and we know that Clint is expecting and hoping to hear a new sound, a different voice from D'Amico Ryans, and hell, they're having team players-only meetings. Maybe it feels like there is a more serious nature to it. The word on the street is that... Maldonado led that players-only meeting. Martin Maldonado, the Houston Astros stepped in and he led the players only meeting.
He led the Texans meeting, huh?
Yeah, you know.
Let's go, Robert.
I mean, if he sniffs, if Martin Maldonado sniffs, there's a players only meeting, he's going to be involved. I think one of those times he did a players only meeting for the Astros and then walked across the clubhouse and did one for the Twins because he felt like they needed to have one too. So I just, Martin Maldonado loves a good team players only meeting, and so word on the street he led theirs. I'm gonna have to check on that, Cheryl. I'm gonna have to check on that, but no, we should I can't wait to hear what he says. I know many of you all don't give a damn based off some of the social media, but I would sure wonder if this is the week that we get some sort of an update on Christian Harris. 113 days since training camp started, and we saw him for 15 minutes at a practice. So we'll and by the way,
where are they?
Still, from the understanding, it's a strained calf. So all right. I think there are some women out here who were pregnant and have given birth since the injury to Christian Harris, since that whole started. But we'll hear from him at 2:30. So hang out with us there. A little program note for that. It is Tape Drop Tuesday, and Clint, a lot of people still talking about Bobby Slowick. Oh, John Crumpler's lost his damn mind. Who covers the Texans? Like John, and he's on the Bobby Must Go train.
A change is needed.
Unbelievable, right there. Bob Must Go.
It's nice knowing you, Bob.
Interesting thought there, but I know you watched the tape, and I know you've watched it. Saw you watching it some earlier. What's your thought now? Coming now off of that Sunday night game against the Lions.
Well, once again, folks ain't gonna like it, but Bobby Slowick was absolutely tremendous in the first half. I mean, tremendous, better than I thought in the first half. And if we're being completely honest, he wasn't bad in the second half.
You ever watch Bobby?
As I mentioned yesterday.
You're about Bobby Slowick, though.
Bobby Slowick. As I mentioned yesterday, this just is not the week to call for Bobby Slowick's job. The reason they scored 23, the reason they should have scored 30, the reason they had a chance to score the 30, what should have been the 33rd, but would have been the 26th point, and took a lead in that game late in the fourth quarter, is because Bobby Slowick made the adjustments that were necessary. You want to run down the list here of Bobby Slowick in the first half?
Oh, I want to hear it. Yeah.
The first touchdown, the formation and the motion, if you remember correctly, it was when he lined up Joe Mixon out wide to the right, brought him in motion, found a new little, gave him a different look, different motion, and the outside zone. It's the one time in the game where the outside zone actually worked and was effective, but got on the board after an early turnover, got a 7-point lead immediately. I talked yesterday at length in that depth about the multiple quick concepts, particularly using Tank early on and as the number one in the progression, and then using him later to what should have been the 30th point and put you up 30-13 over the Detroit Lions, who I think the best team in football. That happened. The second touchdown was one of those where it took Bobby Slowick dialing up three straight plays that were all there. CJ missed touch on the first one, a little snag. He ended up throwing it away over the top of the Mixon's head in the end zone. Mixon was double covered. 19 was wide open underneath, or was open underneath. Tank then drops the out route on the sideline. Again, gets a soft corner, calls play. It would have been third and two right there. I mean, it was just absolute beautiful scheme. And Tank dropped one, and CJ missed the other one. Luckily, he comes right back, and Mechie runs a great route. CJ makes a great throw, and it's a touchdown. The reverse that everybody's hung up on, I wanted to get a good look at it again.
That's the only thing I think happened in the first half.
If Joe Mixon thumps his guy at all, he play fakes and kind of runs into that defensive end that ends up making the play. If he thumps that guy, if he just connects with him, if he just gets a better effort, gives a better effort to block that guy, that play has a real chance. There's one DB out there, and we had a wide receiver that may have gotten in his way, but Tank Dell in the open field with one DB, I like that. I like that 10 out of 10 times. And the truth of the matter is, Ron, there were, and this holds true throughout the entire game, there were several opportunities for big plays where the scheme is ultimately what got it done. Several opportunities for big plays. The one of the sacks, if CJ just comes right away, it's wide open over the middle of the field for about a 12-yard gain. If he just comes off the play action and it's blatantly obvious from jump that it's going to be there, if he comes off that play action, delivers a football, he would have got taken a hit, but big-time quarterbacks do that all day on Sunday. That's there, but instead they end up punting. The interception to start the first half was just blatant, obvious cover two to that side of the field. I don't know why you even think about throwing an out route, a quick out into that coverage. Have no clue. One of the other sacks. There's an open receiver. I'm just screaming wide open. Remember the late throw over to the left right after the PI call gave us a big chunk play.
Mm-hmm.
The late throw over to the left that almost got picked. You said you were more worried about the pick. Tank was open, but the ball was late.
Yeah,
that's late as hell by CJ. That should have been a throw in the ocean completion right there. Bobby schemed that thing up. I thought Bobby was tremendous in the first half, and he was good enough to win that game comfortably in the second half. If we're talking just about Bobby Slowick.
The first half, they put up 23 points, kicked some field goals, had some. You do wish they did more with what they ended up really two turnovers in that half. The third one was a Hail Mary in the half, but two turnovers there. But yeah, like I said, there was the quick game, as you talked about yesterday, was evident that they went to
tremendous
in that first half.
Tremendous.
I thought there was some creativity. Yeah, maybe listening to you talk about the reverse that a lot of people are thinking about, maybe there's a thought that they trashed that when it was slow developing, but as you said, maybe just some execution would have made that.
Yeah, I mean, it was not a horrible call. I didn't like how slow developing it was, which it seems like that was the concept from the beginning. There's things I don't like about it. I'm not saying I would have called it. But, I mean, literally, if Joe Mixon hits the guy that ends up making the block, if he just stays connected to that guy and doesn't let that guy have a free run at Tank, then the play is completely different. I mean, it's not even on the radar of what's going on. And so I just know that was a topic of conversation.
Yeah, there was some creativity. I think the screen game we had complained and had some issues with, he had a great screen set up to Joe Mixon that got him down to the one that should have been a touchdown, but there was a holding penalty that backed him up. The first touchdown was a creative play call to get it to Mixon on that reverse thing. But I think a lot of people, as I see on the text line and YouTube and Twitch, are moving to the second half. What about the second half? The lack of adjustments in the second half. That's when he's been really bad. And there's something, too. Hell, they scored 15 points in the last four games. It's 40-6.
Yeah, look.
They got shut out yesterday. What in the second half?
I'm not here to address the second half issues over the last 4 weeks. We talked about that. There's a lot that goes into that. But I can tell you right now that you go interception and then they get the ball backed up on the one because Kamari Lassiter gets the interception, right? And you run the football to kind of get you some room. Then Robert Woods drops an 8-yard, what should have been an 8-yard catch. It bounces off his chest, right? And on that play, CJ's a little late getting the ball to him. Then the very next play, you know, CJ bails the pocket early. And you've got John Metchie on a little rub route. You've got Dalton Schultz. If you be patient with him, you got him. He'll uncover and come open. So CJ's jitters in the pocket hurt him then. And then you come right back out. And then the interception that would Tank wide open in the end zone. Like I just disagree with the lack of in this particular game. Like I disagree with the lack of adjustments being this fireable offense that people are calling for. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. You look at the film, man, there were things there. There were plays to be made. The quarterback could have avoided, you know, sacks, big losses. He could have avoided interceptions. He could have converted first downs if certain, you know, if he just isn't quite as happy feet in the pocket. So, I have a real hard time. Like Bobby Slowick's adjustments in the second half are well down the list of things that I would address if I were D'Amico Ryans, in my opinion.
Yeah, as I see people, first quarter, Bobby, second half, Bobby is different. They need to bring Gary Kubiak in as an assistant. I'm not upset with Slowick over his offensive scheme for last week. I'm upset with him over him allowing Tunsil to have such lackadaisical attitude he doesn't practice on Wednesday. Like, why would you? Like, how do you think that falls under Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby ain't got control of Laramie Tunsil. Look, I will say this to that texter's point. What should concern everybody a lot more than Bobby Slowick is the level of softness. And I know I've beat this dead horse, but it's the reality of who the Texans are. The level of softness that is allowed on the offensive line. And it's just right now there's so many guys that are guilty that it's the problem is that it's allowed. I mean that's just the problem. Dare Ogunbowale, he's in the backfield, right? Which I think he's on the field too much if we're trying to get our best players and our playmakers on the field. He's on the field too much. I'd rather JJ Taylor be out there. At least that guy can do some things with it. Dare's just not that caliber athlete. But nonetheless, he's out there because he's dependable. Ron, he's got chip protection. His duty is to chip the defensive end and slow him down a little bit for Titus Howard. And when I say it was set up for him, and I'm not saying you got to be egregious and just murder the guy's ribs, right? But when I say it was set up for you to give him a good, your shoulder, just dip your shoulder, put it in his ribs, put it on his shoulder and push him back onto Titus Howard. And when I say he went up there and almost it was like he was scared, like his elbow was sore or something. Like his left arm, like Dare's left arm was sore. He just kind of let that D lineman know he was there. He didn't do a damn thing. Like the level of softness. Schultz, it's just all the time. It is all the time. The level of quit. It's just the level of quit, man. If it's not just a perfect scenario, it's just I'm gonna pat you on the back as I go by because I know I can't block you from the side. Titus Howard, this is 2 weeks in a row, man. He ought to be embarrassed. Andre Ware talked about the quit and stuff, and that's true on that play where he tried to strip the ball from CJ. But the level of softness, I mean, he's blocking, like runs away from him. He's blocking guys, and there is so little strain. Like his back is arched. Like he's just riding along. He's just along for the ride. And this guy is going wherever he wants to, and he's just along for the ride. And it's snap after snap. The level of softness that is involved with Titus Howard is unbelievable. It's blatant. It's not like he knows what he's doing. It's not. I don't want to be physical. He is allowed to do that, and it is absolutely awful. Juice Scruggs and Laramie Tunsil, they got a double team. Backer is outside Laramie Tunsil, so they're doubling a D tackle up to the backer that's outside Laramie Tunsil. And they stand up, and Laramie's got the D tackle, and so Juice is going to the second level. And instead of you either go to the second level right now because you know that Laramie's got him. Or you let that son of a buck know that you're there and you give him a good push and help Laramie Tunsil get control of him and push him even wider so that the run can hit behind you. He literally rests his hands on his left hand on old boy's shoulder and pauses and then doesn't get to the linebacker at the next level. The level of just being willing to allow defenders to dominate you and push you around is unbelievable. The run backed up inside the 1 yard line, Ron. Inside the 1 yard line, you know what I'm talking about? They went interception, then the Kamari Lassiter interception right behind it, got the ball on the 1 yard line. They snapped the football and run it. The ball was on the 2 yard line. Take a wild guess. You got five offensive linemen in the game. How many of those guys do you think were 2 yards on the 2 yard line or beyond? Got any level of push? How many do you think?
I'm going to be naive. One.
None. They were all laying on the 1 yard line, they all got pushed back. Tegan Quatoriano got up and made a little movement right there. Like I'm not be honest with you, I'm at a point now to where this is on D'Amico. This is on D'Amico. This is on Bobby. This is on Strouser. This is coaching. This is being allowed to just because we're too many games into it. If this weren't being allowed, then these guys would be benched. It's that egregious. You saw what happened to Dalton. Like, Dalton's not even in the game anymore when you know you're going to run the football because it was so soft.
Yeah. Like, to me, when you talk about firing people, when you talk about all of that stuff, it is hard to just gloss past what we all know the game starts with up front. All right, coming up, we are looking to hear from D'Amico Ryans at 2:30. We'll hopefully hear from him as he will – speak to the media. We'll carry that live right here on The Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we will head to NRG as soon as D'Amico Ryans starts his press conference with the media. Tyler will send us there. He'll let me know, and we'll let you hear exactly what D'Amico has to say coming up next as he speaks to the media. And this is the first time, fellas, we've heard him since the loss, in which he was clearly frustrated and understandably frustrated after that loss, in which, be honest, they just had like a second half collapse against the Lions, blowing a 23-7 lead in the second half. So we'll hear from him, and I agree with you on this one, Clint. I want to hope that we hear a little more sense of urgency. I know you're probably not betting on it, because what are we? This ain't just 10 weeks. This is the entire time that D'Amico has been here. Like, we've not really seen a lot of chippy D'Amicos. Been mostly a positive guy, which has worked for him up to this point. But I do hope that we hear in maybe tone and in words, Clint, a change in. Like, no, we have, like, we got to fix stuff, and not mixing in the, all right, yeah, but, you know, look at the good things such and such did, or whatever. I do think and hope that we would hear something that is a little bit more to, you know, the tenor of the situation they're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. That's all I've been asking for a month now. And it just gets more and more frustrating as the you know, the losses pile up, losing three of your last four. It's like every week you can call it, man. I mean, after the game, it's unacceptable. We got to fix this. We can't win with that. It's a long season. You know, every team can beat you, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's pissed off. Everybody's unhappy, and everybody's embarrassed. And then by Wednesday, boy, everybody's back to that whole, man, we are, you know, it's swept under the rug. It's about having fun and about getting back to having fun and loving the game. And, you know, it's not a big deal, man. We'll get this fixed. You know, so-and-so, man, you know, we gave up eight sacks, but oh, so-and-so, you know, we had some pretty good pass protections too. You know, I mean, it's our quarterback's the most pressured guy in the league over the last three games. But, man, you know, we've had some good snaps of pass protection as well. Like, it's time to move off of that. Like, it's time to move beyond the hey, let's look at the positive. And that's fine. I'm not saying that you just drop the hammer on guys. I'm just saying it's as a fan, I would like to see things move from the happy-go-lucky, everything's going to be fine, to, hey, man, we realize that, you know, we got a 10-game sample size at this point in time. And we're not very good at a few things. And we got to work our way out of these situations. And that work starts Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Or I guess this week being a Monday night football game, everything moves back. So it's Wednesday. I guess it is, right? No, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Then travel.
You know, travel Sunday, play Monday. Whatever it may be, you got, actually, to be honest with you, now that I'm talking about the schedule, you got an extra week this week. I would probably use that week, that day in the week, to really set the tone of, guys, we've got to.
Tommy, maybe
be better.
Tommy on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you. We see you out there, Champ Slice, 99 Reasons, Tommy. Tommy said, what exactly does Clint want D'Amico to say? I want an example. Put on your D'Amico hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very easy, guys. We are not very good in pass protection. We have been awful in pass protection. We've got to be better. I would like for D'Amico not to allow rest days on Wednesday with offensive linemen. I would like for D'Amico Ryans to say, we are flipping every stone to protect our quarterback and make sure that C.J. Stroud stays upright. And you know what? C.J. Stroud's got to play a little bit better. C.J. Stroud's getting happy feet. C.J. Stroud's because he's been hit so much, we got to figure out a way to get him back in this groove of being nice, cool, calm, and collected in the pocket, right? Offensively, the physicality sucks. We have got to find a way to be a more physical football team, or we're not going to win. He don't have no problem talking about his defense being physical and swarming and straining. We don't have no problem talking about that, right? Well, let's call a spade a spade. We've all watched the same film. The lack of physicality on the offensive side of the football is disgusting. It's embarrassing, right? You bench Kendrick Green. I mean, what about these other guys? What about 3rd and 10 when Laramie Tunsil lets Jared Parm, am I getting his name right, some guy that's in a track stance down there, knowing you're fixing to get a speed rush, run right by him in a critical situation? How about we mention those guys? We didn't mind mentioning Kenyon Green getting benched and Kenyon Green not being good enough, right? But let's talk about some of the other stuff. It's not about being necessarily like degrading to folks as much as it is, and it's not even as much of specifically what he says as much as it is let's quit smiling and laughing on Wednesdays, Tuesdays. Let's it's not going to be okay, right? I mean, yeah, we can be happy-go-lucky and realize that, man, it's damn near impossible for the Colts to catch in this division. So you can be nice and cool and happy and all the joy and have all the fun you want. But you get to the playoffs and you got to face a real playoff team and what's going to happen. Or you can make these guys very aware that what they're doing is not acceptable.
Because clearly, like, they've had – what is it, Tyler? You said, have they had multiple players-only meetings? Have they got reports?
That's the thought. It's possible.
It's a report they've at least had one.
Yeah.
They haven't players-only meetings. Like, you don't have players-only meetings to just go over real estate or furniture. Like, clearly the players or somebody feels like we're at a turning point. We're at a crossroads right now.
Yeah,
that something needs to change, fellas.
Well, I mean, look, it's like Joe Mixon. Why? Like, here's my deal. Like, Joe Mixon goes up there or talks to the media after the game. We got to start playing to win and quit playing not to lose. Like that, if for whoever the texter is, I would love to hear that from D'Amico Ryans. Not following the game immediately on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I would love to hear that from D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, we got injuries, but injuries isn't our issue right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear the coach be critical about the lack of physicality on the offensive side of the football. And you don't have to do it in a way of pinpointing Laramie Tunsil and Titus and Dalton Schultz. You don't have to do it that way. Hell, you can say, hey, man, we need more people that are playing the game as physical as Joe Mixon. We need more people to get on Joe Mixon's level and let's ride. Yeah, it's just the happy joy. Let's sweep everything under the rug, and it's a long season approach is going to get you is going to hold you back. I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we potentially hear something different there, as we will have that for you. We expect to hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back right here live on the Drive.
All right. Before we do that, though, I got to tell you about Academy Sports and Outdoors. Y'all, look, here's what's up, man. If you've lived around these parts for any amount of time, you know all about Academy Sports and Outdoors. And I've been saying this for the last month or so. The weather's starting to change, man. You get some cooler, maybe some cold weather gear. Right now, you need that cooler gear because it's nice out. But when it gets to that cold weather gear, either or, Academy Sports and Outdoors is the way to go. They got outdoor brands, Carhartt, Burlebo, Columbia, Hey Dudes, Birkenstock, Magellan Outdoors, Freely. I'm telling you, the list goes on, and they're all at prices that you're going to love, man. Hunting, fishing, grilling, golfing, working out, anything, you know, you can get it at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Tailgating is what I got to tell you guys about. It's that time of year, tailgating now. Your destination for all your tailgate essentials is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Coolers, grills, chairs, canopies, wagons, whatever you didn't have at your last tailgate, damn it, you can get it at Academy Sports and Outdoors. There's locations all over the city now. If you're hearing this, there's one right around the corner. Get on down there before you forget about what you need and grab it at Academy Sports and Outdoors. And when you go to Academy Sports and Outdoors, you're always going to find in prices that you'll love.
What happened? The Texans took a 23-7 lead into halftime, but couldn't hold on in a heartbreaking last-second loss to the Lions. That makes 3 losses in the last 4 ball games. How will D'Amico's bunch respond in Dallas next Monday night?
Insider access, exclusive content, Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. The Fed just lowered interest rates, and that is great news for those in the market for an automobile. Lower rates means lower payments for you. My friends at D&M Auto Leasing have been laser-focused on offering smart, low-cost leasing solutions for decades. That has never changed. The easy lease at D&M is the most consumer-friendly lease on the market, all backed by the industry leader. Make no down payment, have no payment for 60 days, and build a relationship that lasts a lifetime. 713-290-1000 or visit online at dmautoleasing.com. Make leasing easy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's head to NRG and pick up the head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
He'll adjust to you and sort of take it accordingly.
Any game plan, you talk about adjustments, I think that's always a factor when you talk about scouting yourself, the self-scouts, and also scouting your opponents. So you're always looking at tendencies and things to change, things to add or do something a little different. But it's, at the end of the day, you still have to execute whatever changes you make. But that's part of any game. It's about, you know, adjusting.
Do we look at in the second half, what stood out?
With the inefficiencies, just not only offensively but defensively, it's just a matter of just us focusing in and being on the details of our job.
What goes into an evaluation of how you guys operate on offense, and when you evaluate play calling, like who all is involved in that? Is that the rest of the staff looking at Bobby? Is that Bobby going back over his stuff? How involved are you in something like that?
Yeah, when it comes to our calls and all those things, it's just at the end of the day, myself, Bobby, Frank, we call the games. And, you know, as we call the games, we are coaching our players to execute what we call the right way. So it's not only just the play call, but it's also how we execute in the calls in the right manner.
Players normally like to have a routine. How do you say the team has adapted to playing in a Thursday, then Sunday night, now Monday, and all the schedule that comes to adapt?
It's typical NFL season for me. Is schedule changes. You play Monday, Sunday, Thursday. We adjust our schedule accordingly, and you know, guys go out and play. Guys are built for this. That's why they're here in the NFL, because they can handle all those different things that happens with the schedule.
D'Amico, I know you touched a little bit on the night Mechie had on Sunday. Since you've looked at the film, what else has stood out in that game, and just in general lately about his game and what he's bringing for you guys?
The thing that stood out about Mech is just his progression over these past few weeks, just seeing him play with more speed, jumping off the football, running his routes, being more decisive with his route running, and also just beating man coverage with his feet. You know, he took the practice, he took the coaching points, he took it to the field, and he executed the right way, and he showed up and made plays, especially big on third down. And even, like, we knew they would play aggressive man coverage going into the game, so we talked about it all week. You're going to have to make competitive catches, and that's no better play he made than in the end zone on the touchdown. I mean, the defender has his hands in there, but he goes up with aggressive hands and makes a competitive catch. So I'm just really proud of just his improvement and him taking, you know, the coaching, taking the practice to the field on Sunday.
Make that improvement has allowed him to kind of create a larger opportunity for himself in the offense moving
forward. And just keep owning whatever opportunities you get, right? That's what it's all about. You know, there's larger, small, whatever the opportunity is, it's just about maximizing that opportunity. It doesn't matter how many it is. Like, what are you doing with the ops that you get?
With Nico being activated and then not playing, was there any setback?
No setback with Nico. That was just a game time decision.
What did you see from the Titus Howard? CJ kind of, I don't know, fumble kind of exchange. What happened there?
With that play, to start the play, we had an issue with the cadence. We all weren't on the same page with the cadence. A guy got off the ball quick. We were late off the ball, and they were able to get the sack on CJ. And I'm not sure what happened. From my perspective, it looked like Titus was just trying to make sure he held CJ, and this is something that, you know, he wasn't trying to take the ball. I would say, if you're, you know, speculating there, he wasn't trying to take the football. He's just trying to protect CJ.
Hey, D'Amico, what do you say? You guys have a fair amount of young players, and you've been around the league long enough to know that there's ups and downs. How do you help them to stay, I don't want to say focused, but I guess positive through these kind of valleys as you're trying to move forward?
Yeah, you have to. Like, that's typical NFL season. Like, you have to grow through the season, and are you getting better throughout the season? And, you know, it's my message to our guys. Like, yeah, we went, you know, toe-to-toe with a really good team and expected to win the game. Didn't play winning football or make winning plays in the second half to finish the game, but that's how the season goes. Like, how are we learning from this game and from our past games? How are we learning from that and how are we growing? Like, you can learn from it, but are you growing and making the necessary, right, corrections, all right, to get stronger as you go through an NFL season? And for our young guys, yeah, it's much longer than college seasons, but it's just about just attacking each day and with the right mindset with our guys and not getting too caught up in the grand scheme of things. It's just about focusing just one day at a time, one play at a time. That's what it's about.
The blocking the other day, you made a line change. Where do you think it made strides in terms of the pass blocking? Where do you think run blocking, there was maybe a reason why the run blocking wasn't what it normally is?
Yeah, with the change on our offensive line, when it came to the protection, I thought the guys did a better job of protecting this past week. And, you know, with the run blocking, you know, it was too many negative plays for us where we have to definitely, you know, attack the line of scrimmage more, be more aggressive running off the football.
Coach, with a player like CJ, and a piggyback off of what Kim was asking, you know, he's a player that takes a lot on his shoulders and takes a lot of accountability for, you know, for good and the bad. How do you get him to not come into this situation this week trying to do too much?
Yeah, that's for all of us, right? Nobody can shoulder all the responsibility for CJ. He has 10 other guys around him, but just like those 10 other guys and CJ, all the defensive players, special teams, like, everybody has a job to do, right? And everybody is expected to do that job to the best of their ability, and it's just about everybody focusing on themselves, right? And if everybody execute and everyone plays the proper way and do their job the right way, then we'll be fine. Nobody needs to do more or less. Just do your job the right way.
With taking a few more guys activate Nico on Friday, practice on Friday, game time decision, do you anticipate he'll practice tomorrow and practice up the rest of the week?
Yeah, I anticipate him practicing.
Hey, D'Amico, you talking about CJ, how do you think he's handled, not from a performance standpoint, but just over the past several weeks, he's had faced a lot of pressure, taking a lot of sacks. How do you think he's managing that?
Yeah, he's done a good job. I mean, you know, we had some issues there, you know, with the protection, and it's just, you know, he's made some good decisions with it, and with that protection, it also involves him as well, right? It's CJ, it's the offense, it's everybody playing together, right? Making sure we're operating on time, and it's, you know, I think he's handled everything really as best as he can. Being a young player, he's handled it really well. He always carries himself the right way, always has the right attitude. You talk about a guy who, you know, shoulders a lot of the blame, shoulders a lot, you know, good and bad. You know, he's that's what a leader looks like. And that's why CJ, you know, second year player, that's why he's a leader for our team. Just because he's built the right way. He's able to withstand, you know, the storms that come. He's able to withstand it, and that's why I really, really love him. I love his mindset and his attitude, how he attacks every day.
Do you think Nico returning helps a lot of the issues that you've had on offense the last 4 weeks?
Anytime you get a starting receiver back, and Nico, a guy who's been, you know, before he was out, he was the top receiver in the league. So I think anytime you get him back, it's going to help everybody.
How Bobby and Frank are involved as far as the coaching staff is concerned and call the plays. Do you ever take any, I don't want to say advice, but like Gerard, can Gerard involved in some of the play calling as well?
Yeah, when it comes to the game planning, all of our offensive coaches have input on plays, suggestions, all those things. So everybody, every coach is suggesting, whether it's run game, you know, everybody has different phases of the game, different situations, third down, 2 minute, whatever it may be. So all coaches have input on putting the game plan together, and everybody, they put it together, all right, together. And, you know, I have some input as well on things I've seen, of things I may suggest to Bobby as well when it comes to the game planning mode.
Listening to D'Amico Ryans as he is talking live with the media.
A lot of the times, the second half, you always mention, like, players got to make plays. How much does a guy like, adding a guy like Nico help you guys kind of snap out the lulls in the second half? Because it feels like a lot of times teams are going to make that small, slight adjustments. And it's kind of moving the coaches from the equation. Players got to make plays. How much does adding a guy like Nico help alleviate some of the issues in the second half?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, the biggest thing, coaches make adjustments all throughout the game. So it's not like a big second half adjustment that happens in games. Defenses, they don't run one coverage the second half, the first half, and come out and run a different coverage. That's not what it is, right? They're always rolling different calls, and you have to be able to make plays based on whatever you're seeing from that perspective. So it's not so much about, for me, not the adjustments. I look at us first and foremost, right? A lot of people can focus on whatever adjustments defense makes, but it's about us and our focus and our execution. And I'll continue to speak about that, because that's the only thing that matters to me, is the Texans and how we execute and how we operate. And right now, first half, we had some really good things that happened. It wasn't all perfect. And the second half of the game, we didn't execute the right way. We couldn't get plays started. We got penalties. We got negative plays. We're not blocking the right people on our assignments. So let's do that right, and then let's see how we can play and finish in the second half.
I know you've got a quick amount of time to make the decision after the third down incompletion. It's fourth and four. You guys opt for the field goal. How much consideration was given to keeping the offense out there and maybe trying to never give the Lions back? And how much consideration was also given?
Yeah, all of those things go into consideration. Emi made a long one on the other side. He made it from right there before. So, I made a decision to go with the field goal.
In your experience, when guys aren't executing, the play, in your experience, isn't best? It doesn't have to be particularly this one, but why does that happen?
That's football. Every game, nobody's perfect. Guys, they're always miscues. That's why big plays happen. Most time, big plays happen in football is one side is probably screwing something up, and it's about taking advantages of the miscues that happen on either side of the offense or defense or special teams for that matter. Like that's the game, right? And that's the history of the game, right? Everybody has a responsibility, a role. Everybody's assigned to be on a certain guy in different plays, but guys, at some point, guys mess up here and there, and you take advantage of it and you make them pay.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That was D'Amico Ryans. It's football.
Oh my God.
I know we have to go to break. I don't know how much I heard after he watched the film, and that's what he saw from the Titus Howard situation, that he did not try to take the ball from. Interesting. All right, coming up as we continue there, we'll see if we got anything left over from what we just heard from the head coach. But he spoke about his quarterback, and I think it's time to have a serious conversation about CJ as well. We'll do that as we continue riding live right here on The Drive.